Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to, first of all, take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. If you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in at 319-527-6204 at 7 p.m. And you can also call in your prayer request at that same number. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of his gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. By Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come
We want to thank you for all of those things you do that we never see. Helping us get through each day safely. Making sure our family is protected. And all of the other countless blessings. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
Wonder the kind of clothes that he would wear. Is he tall or is he short? Does he like jazz or contact sports? And what would be his favorite TV show? Sometimes I wonder what he'd drive, or would he go green and ride a bike? These are all the questions I would want to know. What would he do to pass the day? Does he like to read? Does he like to play? Take a closer look and you will see. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. You want to know what he looks like? He looks like you. So what will Jesus do? If Jesus walked the earth today, sometimes I wonder what he'd say. Would he lend a hand to help his fellow man? Would he prioritize his day to get down on his knees and pray? Simply tell the Father thank you. And even with the 9-to-5, would it keep him from the house of God? Cause he's trying hard to gain a little more. Would he be afraid or too uptight, or just ashamed to share his life? Take a closer look and you will see. He looks like you. Looks like you, he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? Some will ever see, and you're the only words of life some will ever read. So let them see in you the one in whom is all they'll ever need. He looks like you.
that you're the hands and feet of Christ. Want to know what he looks like? He looks like you. So what will Jesus do?
Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and mercy, which woke us up this morning and kept us safe through the night. For bringing us to a brand new day, we bless your holy name. We remain forever grateful for our homes, work, and families, and pray that you will send angels to protect us. And may you mend every broken heart, touch all who need healing, comfort all who moan, and bless those with financial needs. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, we will come with a word from the Lord. Excuse me, I'm so used to saying a word from the Lord. But we will come with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. Amen. Praise God. At this time, I'll play another selection, and I hope and pray that you are also enjoying our inspirational music. Praise God.
Belongs to you.
Amen. Are you living on purpose? Ephesians 4:1 in the CSB says, I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, urge you to walk worthy of the calling you have received. What on earth does God intend for me to do with my life? Be quiet. What on earth does God intend for me to do with my life? It's an easy question to ask, but for many of us, a difficult question to answer. Why? Because God's purposes aren't always clear to us. Sometimes we wander aimlessly in a wilderness of our own making. And sometimes we struggle mightily against God in an unsuccessful attempt to find success and happiness through our own means, not his. If you're a woman who sincerely seeks God's guidance, he will give it. But he will make his revelation known to you in a way and in a time of his choosing, not yours. So be patient. If you prayerfully petition God and work diligently to discern his intentions, he will, in time, lead you to a place of joyful abundance and eternal peace. Sometimes God's intentions will be clear to you. Other times, God's plan will seem uncertain at best. But even on those difficult days, when you are unsure which way to turn, you must never lose sight of these overriding facts. God created you for a reason. He has important work for you to do, and he's waiting patiently for you to do it. And the next step is up to you. Yesterday is just experience, but tomorrow is glistering with purpose. And today is the channel leading from one to the other. His life is our light, our purpose and meaning and reason, for living. Only God's chosen task for you will ultimately satisfy. Do not wait until it is too late to realize the privileges of serving him in his chosen position for you. How much of our lives are, well, so daily? How often our hours are filled with the mundane, seemingly unimportant things that have to be done, whether at home or work. These very daily tasks could become a celebration of praise. It is through consecration, someone has said that drudgery is made divine. God is more concerned with the direction of your life than with its speed. God has a plan for your life, a definite purpose that you can fulfill or not. Your challenge is to pray for God's guidance and to follow wherever he leads. In 1 Corinthians 10:31 in the New King James Version says, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 5-6 in the MSG says, your sons of light, daughters of day, we live under wide open skies and know where we stand. So let's not sleepwalk through life. Colossians 1 and 15 in the MSG. We look at this sun and see the God who cannot be seen. We look at his son and see God's original purpose in every created. Ecclesiastes 3 and 1, New King James Version, says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Amen. Let us pray. Dear God, I know that you have a purpose for my life, and I will seek that purpose today and every day that I live. Let my actions be pleasing to you, and let me share your good news with a world that so desperately needs your healing hand and the salvation of your son. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I will play another selection. All to the glory of God.
All to the glory of God. All to the glory of God. In all that we do, no matter where we are, all to the glory of God. Everything belongs to him in the fullness of his blessing. Nothing is possible without God. We come to know his mercy, as far as the eye can see. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. His love knows no bounds. His goodness always true. And he's coming in the clouds.
Restore our souls brand new.
All to the glory
an awesome God. And he deserves all the praise and all the honor. Lift up your holy hands, all to the glory of God. Come on and sing along with me. Hallelujah. Give God the glory.
Heavenly Father, when I am troubled, you heal me. When I am afraid, you protect me. When I am discouraged, you lift me up. You are my unending source of strength. Lord, let me turn to you when I am weak in times of adversity. Let me trust your plan and your will for my life. And whatever my circumstances, Lord, let me always give the thanks and the glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
Somebody lift your hand as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. The worship song that says this, our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Give strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, say my God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and say. If you know he's awesome, say it.
Awesome.
Come on and lift your voice.
Awesome.
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 My God.
My God is awesome.
Come on and testify. Awesome.
Awesome.
If you believe it, say it.
Awesome.
Come on and say it.
Awesome.
My God.
My God is awesome.
Think about it. Savior of the whole world. Giver of salvation.
Giver of salvation.
By his stripes, I'm healed. My God is awesome.
Today I am forgiven.
His grace is why I'm living.
Why I'm
Somebody ought to praise his holy name.
Holy
Come on. Somebody ought to celebrate the arms of God.
Amen. Praise be to God. And now it is time for our devotional message, which is entitled Confident Prayer. Amen. And the scripture reading for this prayer is coming from Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 5 in the TLB Bible. And it says, O Lord God, I cry out, O great and awesome God, who keeps his promise and is so loving and kind to those who love and obey him, hear my prayer. Amen. Do you really see God as being able and willing to handle all the challenges you bring before him? Nehemiah did. Upon hearing about Jerusalem's devastated condition, he moaned, fasted, and prayed for God's intervention, trusting that the Lord would help. Nehemiah used three Hebrew terms demonstrating what he believed about God's character. He called him Yahweh, the living one who is absolute in faithfulness. Elohim, indicating the Lord's infinite power. And Adonai, which means ruler over all. Nehemiah was bringing his request before the throne of grace with full confidence in God. And the Lord answered Nehemiah's prayer in a powerful way. He gave Nehemiah favor with King Artaxerxes, who sent Nehemiah back to Jerusalem with all the resources he needed to rebuild the city. The Lord worked a miracle for Nehemiah, and he can do so for you as well. So approach him with complete confidence that he will hear and answer your prayers. Remember that he is absolute in faithfulness and infinite power. Amen. I hope and pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is to me. Let us pray. Jesus, I truly believe that you can and will help me. Hear my prayer, my awesome God. Amen, amen, and amen. And that is our devotional message for this evening. To God be the glory. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. And you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, I will play another selection while we're waiting for our speaker for this evening. Praise God.
Bread of life sent down from glory. Many things you were on earth, a holy king, a carpenter. But you are the living word, say it now. Come on. Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us. Bread sent down from glory. Many things. Come on, somebody say it.
Many things you were on earth. A holy king, a carpenter. You are the
living
word.
Gentile Redeemer, God with us,
God with us, the living truth, and what a friend we have in you.
This is what we like to call you, Jesus,
Jesus.
That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger, but on a tree you died to save man.
The
Jesus, Jesus,
Jesus.
That's what we call.
Lord, give me the wisdom to be a good listener. Help me listen carefully to my family, to my friends, and most importantly, to you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
Open up inside.
Dear Lord, your love is eternal and your laws are everlasting. When I obey your commandments, I am blessed. Today, I invite you to reign over every corner of my heart. I will have faith in you, Father. I will sense your presence. I will accept your love. I will trust your will, and I will praise you for the Savior of my life. In your Son Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. Praise. And now it is time for our lesson this evening. Our very own Barbara A. Amore is going to come to conduct our lesson in basic theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So we are going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. Praise God. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this evening?
Good evening. I'm blessed and
holy. David, how are you? You okay? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, boy, that was funny. Yeah, I almost lost my precious, precious... teeth.
Your precious what?
My precious teeth.
Don't do that.
I try not to, but, you know, sometimes they have a mind of their own.
Is that what you mean?
Ooh, thank you, Jesus. It's good to laugh.
Yes, yes. How are you this evening?
I'm bad. I'm feeling good. Believe it or not, my pain for the day is moderate. So, yeah, I feel so much better today.
That's great. I'm glad to hear that.
So am I, because last night, I tell you, boy, was a night of, like a, how could I say that? It was like a night from hell.
Oh, wow.
But thank God joy came this morning. Mm.
Thank God for new mercies on a new day.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Yes, indeed.
So is anyone else on the line with us?
Not yet.
Okay. We're going to start if it's okay with you.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Precious and Heavenly Father, it's once more and again a few of your humble servants come to you as humble as we know how.
Yes, Lord.
Father God, we thank you for waking us up this morning and starting mm-hmm. us on our way, giving us strength for the struggle, allowing us to see a new day,
mm-hmm.
a day we've never seen before. God, we thank you for all your precious gifts, mm-hmm. the gifts of life, breath, yes. strength, water, oh God, air. We thank you for all of that, Father God.
Mm-hmm.
God, if I had 2,000 things, I couldn't thank you enough for all that you do, all that you have done, and all that you're doing right now. God, I want you to bless everyone that's on this line. Special blessing on Evangelist Hilda. Thank you for allowing her pain to be less severe as it can sometimes be, mm-hmm. knowing that there will be good days and there will be bad days. And I'm
Amen.
So glad this is a
yes.
probably good day. To God be mm-hmm. all the glory. So we thank you for the listeners. We thank you for this opportunity
mm-hmm.
to come through once more to talk about basic theology in this book by Charles C. Ryrie. So we're just going to go right in. We're not going to hold a whole lot of time because we're going to end a little earlier and ask these blessings in the master's name. God, forgive us of our sins, those of our mission and commission, and I'm asking all these blessings in the matchless name of your Son, our Savior, in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen. Praise
as
be to God.
Saying, as I was saying, and not telling God, but telling us that we're not going to stay as long tonight because the lesson. We're going to end it at a particular time so we can get into the homework. And then we will resume. All right? So right now, we're going to go to the lesson that we had stopped at last week. And that is still talking about Christ, Prophet, Priest, and King. And we didn't get too far.
No.
On page 292, and we stopped about midway on page 293. But that's all right.
All right.
So we're going to pick it up now at the...
at five.
It's the fifth division, and it's called, it was authoritative. Right? And again, we're talking about the manner of Christ as a prophet. What does that mean so much as the topic of this section, the manner of Christ as a prophet?
Is
talked about
his character.
Wait a minute. It talked about it was unsystematic. It was profusely illustrated, it made use of questions, it was authoritative, and that's the last portion of that division. So what were you saying about it? What is the meaning of the manner of Christ as prophet?
Well, I said his that it was talking about his character, how he spoke to the people and the disciples in parables that they could understand what he was saying to them.
Say that last line again, so that they could understand what he was saying?
Yes. That's why he spoke in parables, and then like he used stories when he was talking to them, when he used the story of what was the story that he used? Well, in all of his things, he used the story of my brain's just not working today. But anyway, that he used parables to speak to them. That, for me, as my opinion, as they for them to really grasp or understand what he was preaching to them. To give them more understanding.
So you're saying that a parable was used to give the disciples an understanding of what he was talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. And as we know, many of the parables, they did not know what it meant, right?
But he clarified it after he spoke it. Then he
was made the disciples, but he didn't clarify it
to the
crowd.
Right.
So the crowd didn't know what he was talking about many times when he spoke in parables. It had a hidden meaning. So when you say that he spoke in parables so that they would understand, no, it's just the opposite, so that they would not understand. Okay? And so when he got along with his disciples, his 12 disciples, he explained it more in depth because it was not for everybody to know what he meant. Okay?
Okay. Got it.
Now let's, sorry for what? So let's take a look at...
sorry, I said I got it.
Okay, so let's take a look at the death parable. Okay, can you hear me? As according to Google, it's a simple story used to illustrate a moral or spiritual lesson as told by Jesus in the Gospels, the parable of the blind men and the elephant. What is a parable? What is a parable, and what is the literal meaning of a parable? Let me go there. The word parable comes from the Greek word, and it shows up Greek writing, literally means throwing alongside by extension, meaning comparison, illustration, analogy. It was the name given by Greek rhetorians to illustrations in the form of a brief fictional narrative. Why did Jesus say parables? Jesus explains his use. Through speaking in parables, Jesus grants understanding to those who are seeking after him, revealing truth to those who are willing to listen and thoughtfully consider what he has to say. Conversely, those whose hearts are hardened against him have the truth hidden from him. So for those who were trying to understand him more, they got some enlightenment. But for those who were basically denying him, the truth was not revealed to them. So that's why he spoke in parables. It was not meant for everyone to understand. And basically he wanted his listeners to, I'm saying this. He wanted his listeners to become followers and to understand what he was saying, to seek more of them, okay?
Yes.
So, again, it wasn't meant for everybody to understand. He wanted people to loosen up their heart and their understanding so that they would draw closer to him. That's okay. What a parable was used for.
Okay.
So it was, yes. Getting back to five, it was authoritative. This is probably the outstanding feature of Christ's ministry as a prophet. What was that was outstanding about his ministry as a prophet?
Was that he came to preach the word, to save those who that was lost.
That's true, but that doesn't answer this question. His authority stood in sharp contrast to the teaching of the scribes and Pharisees. So when he spoke with authority, as opposed to those who were scribes. What are scribes?
Scribes are unbelievers, like the...
No.
No. Wait a minute. Scribes, they're like they're like the Pharisees. They have their own belief, and they didn't believe in Jesus, but they believed in God.
Well, we're not talking about the Sadducees.
Well, I don't know what a scribe is then.
Okay, the scribe is one who wrote. So they would write the law that was given to them. Okay. So we're going to go to Google once more.
Okay.
What is the scribe? Okay, a scribe historically is a person who copies out documents, especially one employed to do this before printing was invented. So they were like clerk or secretary or copyist or recorder, pencil pusher, or writer, okay?
Writer,
and then
okay.
An ancient Jewish recorder or later a professional theologian and jurist. He writes. That's what a scribe does. And you heard people say they scribbling. You know,
yeah.
The children are scribbling.
Yeah.
The old folks are scribbling. Right.
Yes.
That's about right. So the scribe is a writer.
Oh, and see, yeah. I thought they were like a different people, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees
right.
And all of them.
Those are the Sadducees. Right. So his authority stood in sharp contrast to the teaching of scribes and Pharisees, Mark 1:22, because
mm-hmm.
it probed depths of the reality of the truth. So what happened in this particular paragraph? Can you expound on that? Then I want you to get Mark 1:22.
So with his authority, he spoke with, like you said, he spoke with authority, and that was to make the so that they would go deeper into the that they would go deeper into depth of understanding what he's saying. Because
right.
even though they
yeah.
knew the law, but, you know, they knew the law, the Pharisees and Sadducees, but they
didn't talk about the authority as
yeah.
Jesus Christ did. You know, it was like they heard it and so they repeated it, you know, but it's not like they really got deep into it.
Uh-huh.
Okay? It's something that they heard and they were aware of it. And so we want you to read Mark 1:22.
Okay.
Please.
The people were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike the teachers of religious law. Now,
mm-hmm.
okay, so they're saying that Jesus spoke with authority and he teach with authority, not like the religious law, religious teachers' law. I don't understand. So what kind of teaching were they teaching the people?
They were teaching them the law, the Mosaic law, the laws of Moses, but they weren't teaching it like they knew what they were talking about so much. They didn't preach it with authority.
All
right?
Uh-huh.
So it was different. Even though they said the words, they didn't go deep into it. You know, because they didn't understand it that way, the way I interpret it, you know?
Yeah.
No one could go as deep into the word as the word himself, Jesus Christ. So when he said it from a place of knowing, talking about, all right? Because they were talking about him. They were talking about his father.
Right.
Right? So mine is confident teaching. And that's the whole authoritative teaching. You're teaching with confidence, like you know what you're talking
what
about.
What you're talking about, okay.
Right, you're not just saying some words. And that was the difference between Jesus and the other ones that had taught also. They didn't preach with authority. They didn't preach with confidence. They
mm-hmm.
weren't necessarily sure what they were talking about themselves, even though they were saying the words. They
yes.
weren't necessarily okay, or what had been. So then they entered Capernaum when the Sabbath arrived. Jesus lost no time in getting to the meeting place. He spent the day there teaching. They were surprised at his teaching, so forthright, so confident, not quibbling and quoting like the religious scholars, okay? So he, again, he preached with, like he knew what he was talking about. He preached with authority. He didn't him and haw and, what? he preached like he knew what he was talking about. Okay.
Yeah.
So.
Well, he had to know what he was talking about because he was God, so he made the laws.
Right. But again, just what you said, people were made aware of that fact, but they didn't believe that he was God. Down in the flesh.
That is it. That
many of them, and I was talking to a Jewish driver the other night, and you got my religion, what else, right? And said, do you believe in Jesus Christ? He said, yes. I said, so who was Jesus? He said he was a prophet. Yeah, he was a prophet, but he was more than that. He is more than that. He's our Savior.
Yes.
Right?
But
he's
they
God come down
that he's a prophet. That's all they're going to see him as.
That's what they believe. Even though they believe in Jesus, they don't see him as the Son of God.
Mm-mm.
Amen?
Wow.
They don't see him as the Son of God.
No, they don't.
No. So I don't know what it takes to convince them, but right now they don't believe like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're at section C, talking about the material of Christ as prophet. So much of his prophetic material is scattered throughout the gospel. Four major messages are preserved for us. The Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 and 7.
Mm-hmm.
And where did we find out that the Sermon on the Mount, what was the name of the mountain?
Oh, where did I put that?
We'll come back to that.
Yeah, okay. I know I wrote
the parable. Huh?
No, I'm saying I know I wrote it on my paper somewhere, but I don't.
Okay, we'll come back to that. Just, you know, continue to listen to this, please.
Mm-hmm.
We can look at Matthew 5 through 7. The parables of the mysteries of the kingdom, olives on Tuesday of Holy Week. I'm sorry. Of the kingdom, Matthew 13. The conversation with four of his disciples on the Mount of Olives on Tuesday of Holy Week, Matthew 24 through 25. And the message to the disciples in the upper room on Thursday evening, John 13 through 16. Entire, and we're not going to read all of that because that's talking about three chapters. The teachings of Christ are possibly the most difficult part of the entire Bible to interpret accurately. Why is this so? Because our Lord lived under the Mosaic law and purposely kept it. But he also presented himself to Israel as their king. And when he was rejected as king, he introduced the new part of God's program, the church, and gave some teaching about it. In other words, he lived and taught in relation to three different aspects of God's program for this world, the law, the church, and the kingdom. To keep those strands of teaching distinct and without confusion is not always easy. So, did you get anything out of that paragraph?
Yeah, where he's telling us about the different scriptures and things where to find the materials of that he was preaching about, and also that he knew the law, so because he made the law, and that the people didn't want to, Israel didn't want to follow the law, so he had to go a different way.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And so what was that different way?
The different way was with...
We had to include the Gentiles because the Jews refused.
Right. Okay.
Right. He had to go a different way, which is correct.
Mm-hmm.
He had to go to the Gentiles.
Right, because they wouldn't accept him.
Mm. Right.
Wow.
He rejected him.
Can you imagine?
Mm-hmm. So let's take a look at the first one, which is Matthew 20. Oh, God, they want the whole thing. Listen to Matthew 5 through 7. Oh, God, they want the whole thing. We can't do that.
Matthew,
but we can read that on our own, okay? We won't read it tonight because it's, you know, 5, 6, 7,
says,
that's 3.
Okay, so which chapter? That's chapter 5 and 7 or chapter 22?
Matthew 5 through 7.
Chapter 5 through 7?
That's what it's telling us.
Oh, no. I mean, we'll be here all night.
25, and then Matthew 13, and then John. You know, it's the whole chapter they want, and it's a little bit too time-consuming, but I invite you to read it on your own if you want to, if you have the time, but not now. So what mountain were they referring to when Jesus did the Sermon on the Mount?
Mount Olive? Was it Mount Olive?
No.
No. Mount Moriah.
No.
I'm just guessing. I don't know.
You got that right. The
so
Beatitudes.
Yes.
The Beatitudes.
Right.
Okay.
That's the name of the mountain, the Beatitudes?
Yes, we discovered that last week. So when they're giving us the Beatitudes in chapter 5, that's what that is. The Sermon on the Mount is called the Beatitudes because it was on the mount called Beatitudes.
Okay. Mm-mm.
Okay. Moving right along.
Oh, yes, it is. Okay.
Number one.
Text. Yeah. All right.
Okay, I'm not there yet. I'm sorry. Go back up. The teachings of Christ are possibly the most difficult part of the entire Bible. I read that. Okay. Number one is right. The Sermon on the Mount. Some view this discourse as an exposition of the way of salvation. What does that mean?
The Sermon on the Mount is the only way that we can get...
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes.
I'm trying to help you. What is an exposition?
Who? I thought we was... I don't know.
Hold on one second. Let me...
Exposition. Where is the exposition? I don't even see it.
I'm sorry. And so what is an exposition?
Exposition.
Expository, expose, okay, so this discourse is an exposition of the way, so he's showing us
the way of salvation. That's divulging what it is to be saved. That's all it is. All right?
An exposition.
Mm-hmm. Hey. So some view this Sermon on the Mount as a discourse of an exposition of the way of salvation. And just humor me. Let's look at Matthew. That humor you, I'm tired of you. Matthew 5. You didn't say that though, right?
I didn't say anything. I'm laughing.
You didn't say that though, right? So let's take a look at Matthew 5. We're not going to read the whole thing. Let me see where we're going to
start. What verse?
Give me a second. That's what I said. Let me see where we're going to start. Okay. Well, let's start at verse, what's that, 11?
Okay.
12, I'm sorry. 13, I'm sorry, 13. Mine is talking about salt and light. And I want you to read yours and I'll read some of mine. And this is talking about the position of salvation, the way of salvation, okay?
Okay.
Let's go.
Jesus teaches about salt and light. You are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will please your heavenly Father. 17. Jesus teaches about the law. Don't misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. 19.
Okay. Hold it there. No. I want you to go to 5 and 1. Start there.
Chapter 5, 1. 1 says, one day as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them.
That's the part. Go on.
God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied.
Let me stop you there.
All right.
This is talking about what? What did I ask you to go to chapter 5 for?
Oh, to find out about how we get to salvation.
Amen. So what are you getting out of what you've just read? Not the 13 through 19 or wherever that was, but the part from 1 through where you just stopped. What do you get out of that?
Here it's saying really that he came for, the poor, the sick, the needy, So he blesses us who needs him. And this is
okay.
how we are to, you know, get to salvation is through
right.
him.
That's how you get salvation.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's not really complicated. But I want to read some of mine. My volume seems really low. I don't know why it's so low. Say something.
No, loud and clear.
No, I'm talking about on my end.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yours is clear. Mine was a little lower than I wanted it to be. So I'm going to read from the message. It says, section 5, I mean chapter 5, not 4. You're blessed. When Jesus saw his ministry drawing huge crowds, he climbed the hillside. Those who were apprenticed to him, the committed, climbed with him. Arriving at a quiet place, he sat down and taught his climbing companions. This is what he said, talking about the way to salvation. You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there's more of God and his rule. You're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one, capital one, the one, oh boy, the one most dear to you. I'm talking about God. You're
yes.
blessed when you're content with just who you are, no more, no less. That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can't be bought. You're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. He's
yes.
food and drink and best meal you'll ever eat. You're blessed when you care. At the moment of being careful, you find yourself cared for. Oh, my God. Ooh.
Oh,
you're blessed when you
wow.
get your inside world, your mind and heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. You're
yes.
blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. You're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. What does that mean?
What? Drive the that he would his
no. Verse 10. Read yours in your yeah, would you have the NIV?
Yeah.
Read 10, and I'll be mine, and you can answer the question if you can.
Okay. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs.
Okay, what does that mean?
It means like if we do the right thing, like serving him and following him, helping people, you know, doing everything that he, following his law, rather. And so when we do that and people be like, look at her, or persecuting us or calling us all kinds of names and scoffing after us, then we are going to be blessed in the kingdom of heaven.
All right.
So
all right. Excellent.
Yes.
I'm going to continue through 12.
Okay.
Now, and so basically he's saying when we follow Jesus Christ and it leads to provoking people, and then in this provocation, we are persecuted because we're following Christ. That leads us to an even deeper into God's kingdom. So if we hold on and don't allow those, whoever you want to put a name to them, to deter us from following Jesus Christ, that brings us closer.
Yes.
To the kingdom, because they will persecute you. If they see that you're doing something for Jesus, that you're following
yes.
Jesus, that you're trying to act like Jesus, trying to do what he did, and you know what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
They are going to not like you. They didn't like him.
Nope, they didn't.
They didn't like him, some of them. Not all of them.
Not all.
They didn't kill him. So if here we are almost 2,000 years later, can you imagine? We're still following this man who was crucified.
Yep.
So if we're still following this man, they didn't like, they killed him.
Yes.
They don't want to follow him.
No, they don't. No.
They think they have a better way. There is no better way than to follow Jesus. There's no better way.
None.
To follow
whatsoever.
Him. So when we are persecuted because of a provocation, because we wore too big of a cross, I'll say, or you know what I'm saying? Big of a doily on our head, or too big of a hat, or you know what I'm saying? Then they're going to dislike you. They're going to persecute you just because they think they can. All right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Praise the Lord that we got Jesus.
Hallelujah. So not only that, continuing in 11 through 12, and I'm going to quit it. Not only that, count yourselves blessed every time people put you down or throw you out or speak lies about you to discredit me. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort, and they are uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Give a cheer even, for though they don't like it, be glad when that happens. Give a cheer even, I'm sorry. For though they don't like it, I do.
That's right.
Lord, have an applause. And know that you are in good company. My prophets and witnesses have always gotten into this kind of trouble. And as John Lewis said, that's good trouble. Amen.
Good trouble. Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh,
yes, he did. He said, that's good trouble.
So good.
I don't get that good trouble anytime.
I'm going to put a pen in it right here.
Yes. Which is, in of the persecutions and stuff, I'm going to be rewarded with my mansion in heaven.
So we're going to stop at 1, and I'll probably reread that. The Sermon on the Mount, talking about the discourse as an exposition of the way of salvation. That's the Beatitudes, which was preached or taught or mentioned or delved into by Jesus Christ on the mountain for Beatitudes. Amen?
Amen.
So now we go. Get into this homework. Miss Valerie didn't join us yet.
No, I guess she must have worked late.
She might have, she might have forgot too. No problem. So,
we're in.
You were able to find some answers to the question, and let me read the question.
Message.
It was to discuss Matthew 22:1-10, inappropriately dressed guest. That was the emphasis. The inappropriately dressed guest. All right. What you got?
Okay. So the inappropriate guest, right, when the king sent everybody out, when he sent his servants out because of the people that he invited did not want to come. So when he sent the servants to go and bring all the people that they can find out in the galleys or wherever, and they brought them in, but all the people that they brought in, they had to dress them in wedding garments. So everyone got dressed except one man, and that man, why he was thrown out of the wedding party, I mean the wedding banquet, is because he was not a believer. So if you're not a believer, that means you don't want to follow the rules and regulations of whatever the king tells you to do.
Wow.
So it's the same way, like with it. For me, I feel like it's like correlating to Jesus, because when Jesus comes, all of those who are going to be ready to go with him will be going to heaven. So, but we are going to be dressed in our finest. But when they say dressed in your finest, they mean your heart. Your heart is going to be clean and ready to go.
Wow.
And when I was, and then they, you know, they gave you some scriptures to follow what it says.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see about the dress. Here it is. It said in Zechariah 3:3-5, right? Yeshua, J-E-S-H-U-A, Yeshua's clothing was filthy as he stood there before the angel. So the angel said to the others standing there, take off his filthy clothes. And turning to Yeshua, he said, see, I have taken away your sins, and now I am giving you these fine new clothes. Then I said they should also place a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean priestly turban on his head and dressed him in new clothes while the angels of the Lord stood by. Woo!
Wow.
I read that, my flesh started to crawl, because it's like it's not even like he is talking to us.
Yes.
When he dressed us in clean clothes, he has taken away our sins. And we become new creatures. Ooh, can you imagine? So, you know, I felt bad for him, because he poor thing. But, you know, in those days, it was their custom. When you are invited to a wedding banquet or a feast, you are to wear your finest. And so he decided he don't want to wear the clothes that they had for him. So that's why the king bind him and had the servants throw him out. Just like what's going to happen with the sinners, you know, all who do not come and change your garments, and you're going to be thrown into the fire.
Right, if you don't repent.
Exactly.
Change your evil ways.
Yes, absolutely.
Amen.
And
I thank you for that.
You're welcome. One more. I love the one that in Isaiah 61:10, he says, I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God, for he has dressed me with the clothing of salvation and draped me in a robe of righteousness. I am like a bridegroom in his wedding suit, or a bride with her jewels. I tell you, when I went to those scriptures and I read those, I was like, wow. Can you imagine?
So you didn't mind doing the homework?
Oh, no, not this one. This one was right on point.
Okay, okay, I'm glad. I'm glad. You got something else for me?
No, I do, but I'll leave it another time.
Okay.
No, it's just scriptures. It's just scripture reading.
Oh, okay.
So you said there's always have scripture to back it up.
You can share it if you want to. If not, I want to read mine.
No, go ahead, because it's 7:52.
Okay, so I, unlike you, you say yours. I'm going to read mine.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. You did a very good job. I like
you. Thank you. I get a star for that.
Yes, you do. You get 2 stars, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right. The scripture, Matthew 22:1-10, is a parable about a wedding feast. It is a parable about universalism. Jesus teaches that the kingdom of God is open to everyone, not only Jews. The king was preparing a wedding feast for his son. He sent his servants out to bring the invited guests, but they didn't want to come. These were the Jews. The king sent the servants out again, saying, "Look, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fat calves. Calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast." Their reactions were very strange and severe. Some ignored the servants and went to their businesses and farms instead. Others seized the servants, mistreated them, and then killed them. This made the king furious. He sent troops to destroy the murderers and burn their city. He then instructed his servants to invite anyone they found. Therefore, both good and bad people fill the hall of the at the wedding feast. And that's what's happening too, right? He invites Jesus and us all to come, the good and the bad.
Mm-hmm.
The original invited guests were the Jews. The Jews believed they were God's chosen people, and that was all that was required to enter the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
The Jews who ignored the servants were those who ignored the prophet who came to deliver the message of God, and perhaps those who refused to believe Jesus. The violent ones represented those who mistreated and murdered the prophets and messengers of God, and perhaps foretold of the rejection of Jesus. The Gentiles are the guests who were later invited. It shows that the kingdom of God is open to everyone, not just the Jews. Finally, The man found to be dressed inappropriately was bound by the servants as ordered by the king and thrown into the darkness where he will cry and gnash his teeth. The unsuitably dressed man represents those who were not prepared for complete commitment to Jesus. Last paragraph, I think. The parable concludes with the words, "Many are invited, but few are chosen." This is a lesson about grace. People don't accept God's gift because money, responsibility, and relationships often stand in the way. Jesus wants us to know that while the invitation is for everyone, we have to accept the invitation to be with him at the banquet. The invitation is to everyone, but in order to be with him, we have to say yes, the invitation. Amen. God is the glory.
Woo.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise Him. Wow.
Hallelujah.
Beautiful. Very beautiful.
Praise God. Thank you so much. To God. God bless Guru. That's what that is. But anyway, it's 7:56. I think this was a very, well, I'm not going to use the word. You say what you want. What was this? How was the lesson?
It was absolutely awesome.
So hugs and kisses and blessings.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. Thank you.
Thank you.
This was beautiful. I'm so sorry. I'm glad you were here, but I'm sorry Miss Valerie missed it.
Yeah.
Anyway,
and she had prepared.
It is what
too.
It is. Huh?
Yeah. I said she had prepared for it, too.
She did?
When I had talked to her on Saturday, she was saying that she had the lesson, the homework.
Okay, so God willing, if she comes on next week, maybe we'll get a chance to go over it.
Yes.
Because when she comes on, go over it.
Give her a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I have to call a meeting. I'm not calling it today. I need to get to the lady so we can talk about the band and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So maybe Sunday. Is Sunday our scheduled meeting? No, it's not.
Yes.
Oh, that's the Sunday. Okay,
yeah,
that's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
That's perfect. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, shoot. No, that's good. That's the 23rd, I think.
Yes.
Yes. No problem. So no special meeting needed.
Okay.
But I think this much. The van was less than what we had said. Okay?
Uh-huh. Okay.
So that's
wow, good. That's even better.
right. So unless we want to insure it for 2 days, it's going to be less than what we said.
Okay.
So we'll discuss that at the meeting. They said $69 a day for the insurance. But we have insurance, and I don't want it to be something that if there's a problem, it goes on our insurance. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Causes
exactly.
Our insurance to go up. So I got to see if that's the way to go or save that, you know, $100 or whatever, $140
right.
or $139. Mm-hmm. But we'll talk about it, and I just wanted to give you a heads up. And
okay.
Thank you for letting
appreciate
me know that
it.
This will be our 50th day to meet yeah. anyway. So that's good.
Yes.
God willing.
Yes. God willing, all is well. Tomorrow,
amen.
Have,
so
prayer meeting from 5 to 6.
On the prayer line?
On Zoom.
On Zoom?
Yeah. Oh, but
you
don't be with us on Wednesdays anyway.
No, but what is that about?
It's about the Bible class that we're going to be doing next week.
Oh, well, I told you, I didn't tell you, but I got a book. I'm trying to, you know, be a part of it.
Oh, that's wonderful, because you can help
me out. Yeah, so it's about the class. I really try to be on there from 5 to 6, right?
That's what, but next week. I don't know what time she's going to have it, but most likely
I'm talking about tomorrow. You said you're going to have a prayer meeting tomorrow about
that,
the tomorrow too, right?
Yeah, she said that we're going to have prayer from 5 to 6 tomorrow to pray on the, you know, the Bible class and all of that.
Okay, well, I need to be there. I need to be there. Thank you for telling me.
You're welcome.
If I forget to come on, because I didn't write it down, I know I should, please call me.
Okay, I will.
Or text me and, you know, put it in the text. Okay? I would love to be there.
Okay. Great.
Okay. Thank
we
you so much.
We can get.
I know. So when you're ready, you can take us home.
Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Thank you for this wonderful lesson this evening. Thank you for the homework to open up our insights to let us know about the wedding banquet, the wedding feast, how we are to be dressed for your kingdom of God. Lord, we thank you for everything. We thank you for everything that you're doing, everything that you've done, and everything that you're going to do in our lives, Lord God. We thank you for guiding us in the way that you would have us to go. Let your will continue to be in our lives, Lord God. We thank you for life, strength, health, wisdom, understanding, Lord God. We thank you for your word. Woo! Just reading your word every day, filling our minds, our hearts, our souls, our spirit, Lord God, just with all the comfort and passion and love that you have for us, Lord God, that we can share with someone who don't know you, Lord God. We thank you for providing us with all of our needs. Food on our table, a roof over our head, clothes on our backs, Lord God. Lord God, we thank you for waking us up this morning to a brand new day, one that we have never seen before, Lord God. Thank you for bringing us through, Lord God. Thank you for watching over us last night while we slept, Lord God, and saw fit to wake us up this morning to say thank you, God, for this day. Lord, thank you for guiding us, for strengthening us, for healing us, Lord God. We thank you for our families, our friends, our neighbors, and even our enemies, Lord God. We are excited to go down by the hospitals, nursing homes, prison cells, Lord God, juvenile halls. Somebody there, Lord God, is calling upon your name, Lord God. We ask that you touch them, Lord God, in a mighty special way. Let your will be done in their lives, Lord God. And we ask and thank you for forgiving us for our sins, Lord God, present, past, and future sins, Lord God. Thank you, God. We love you. We honor and adore you, Lord God. Thank you for loving on sinners like us. That one day, Father, when you come again, that we will be caught up in the air with you, Lord God, to go to our new home in the sky, Lord God. Thank you, God, for everything. In the mighty name of your Son, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that you sent back to dwell within us and guide us in the way that you would have us to go. Continue to again, Lord God, to let your will be done. In Jesus' holy name, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Thank you for that fervent prayer.
I don't know what happened. The Holy Spirit took over.
What it is, that fervent prayer. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you for that, madam. Continue to touch us with your word.
Yes, Lord God.
Thank you to the Father, all right?
Yes. God bless.
Love you so much.
Have a wonderful evening. Love you.
Hugs and kisses.
I receive it. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm getting carried away, but wait a minute. God be the glory.
Love you. Good night.
Love you too.
And
How's Chico?
Chico is fine. My sister brought her granddaughter over, and Chico was all over her, playing, biting, licking. He had a good time.
That's good. Give him a hug for me, okay?
I will. I can't do that.
All right. Love you. Have a blessed night. And shalom.
You do the same. God bless you.
Okay, thank you.
And on that note, we are out. Thank you for using Block Talk Radio.